During my second spring of bird watching in 1976, I searched wetlands all around East Lansing, Michigan, trying to see as many kinds of waterfowl as possible. I was thrilled to add snow geese and blue geese to my life list. Then in 1983, the American Ornithologists Union snatched one of those birds right off my list, deciding that the white and blue forms of these birds are subspecies of a single species. Because the white form was named first, they kept that name for the whole species, even though some snow geese are blue. Geese are clannish birds, and young usually choose their mates within the large circle of distant relatives and acquaintances that their family hangs out with during fall and winter. This leads to limited breeding isolation, causing the many subspecies found in some goose species. But because different circles of geese do descend on the same wetlands in fall and winter, some young geese do choose their mates from other groups and breed successfully, so the groups are not genetically isolated enough to be considered separate species. For being so abundant, snow geese keep a lot of secrets from ornithologists. The blue-type birds have a much more restricted breeding range than the white-type, and nesting colonies of the blue morphs were not discovered until less than 90 years ago in 1929, after a direct and intentional search that lasted 6 years and covered over 30,000 miles. Right now, numbers of snow geese are surging, and a lot of wildlife managers are in panic mode, crying overpopulation and that they're destroying the tundra. I've read a lot about this and keep hearing that these numbers are, quote, unprecedented, but there is plenty of evidence to the contrary. One of my friends on the National Bird Chat listserv, Barry Kent McKay, this year's featured artist for the Smithsonian's International Migratory Bird Day and the Canadian representative of Born Free USA, a wildlife organization, notes that there were documented records of huge numbers of snow geese in the late 19th and early 20th century. Obviously, this was before aerial surveys, so all the accounts by researchers earlier than the past few decades are dismissed as anecdotal. But that discounts a lot of professional eyewitness data to the contrary, and also discounts the huge toll on game birds made by unregulated hunting for market and for sport in the 19th and early 20th centuries. Birds of many species were barely recovering from that when I started birding, and no wildlife managers living today have any memory of how many birds there were before the slaughter. Wildlife managers are right that tundra habitat is in jeopardy right when goose numbers are peaking, but that hardly implies a cause and effect relationship. Barry Kent McKay notes that the critical problems facing the tundra stem from global climate change leading to the loss of permafrost and from the oil and mining industries, and points out that the human, not goose, population explosion is the root of the real problems facing the tundra. Canada goose numbers have increased due to adaptations individuals have made to urban and suburban habitats, opening up a whole new set of habitats that they can exploit successfully. There is no evidence that snow geese are exploiting new habitats, and frankly, very little evidence that their high numbers right now are greater than their numbers were before they were overhunted. I'm thrilled that snow geese are rebounding, and hope that in a world where so many birds are declining, snow geese can stay abundant. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.